I do not have to tell you the importance of practicing Mahakala. When we practice Mahakala, it is for just like any other deity, for all sentient beings. But it is very important from time to time, it is important to see where your practice is going. Because we do our sadhanas every day, I hope. But it is important that we don't get, it doesn't become something like a tradition where we have to do something but we don't know what we are doing or why we are doing. Practicing yourself, that is one of the most important things you can do. Most important things. Of all the practices you do, your sadhana is one of the most important part. That is where all the blessing, all the teaching, everything matters. If you do not practice your own, private practice or the self-practice, then all the other practice that you do, or all the rituals, or everything, the power becomes much less, or is almost meaningless. Receiving initiation is the beginning, is never the end. It's always the beginning. And of course, it is also a blessing because we have received from many great masters. I have received this from His Holiness the 41st and of course 42nd Ludin Khenpo. I have received this many times. But what most important for us is for us to do is to our practice. And from time to time, it is important to remember that why we receive this initiation. We all want to receive blessing, long life initiation, and all this, but sometimes we forget why we are doing practicing. I believe that if we can, get our minds to think why we are receiving this initiation, and it will also help you in your daily life, because your practice is for yourself, but at the same time for everybody else. When we must remember that every time we say or the Guru says for all sentient beings, it is for you. You get the benefit. Not just all sentient beings. All sentient. When you the more wider your audience or you're praying for more people, the blessing will be also greater. The more blessing you have, the more greater merits you gain. The more merits you have, then more you are closer to being Buddhahood. There is no Buddhahood without merit.
It's not.
No Buddhahood without merit. You have to have merit. So it is very important. Whenever sometimes we think that whenever Guru says you have to do this for every sentient being, so we feel like we are doing something for others. But actually, by visualizing for all other sentient beings, you are getting the most benefit. Whatever understanding that I could master or I could gather from Buddha's teachings, whether it talks about emptiness, whether we talk about compassion, whether we talk about all sentient beings, this all, the essence or the point is all becomes to you to control your own emotions, to control your own ego, or to control your own self. That's one of the most important reasons why we all talk about. Because emptiness, if things doesn't exist, then you don't exist. If I say the you don't exist, that means I don't also exist. It's like interdependent. Just like that, when you say compassion, there is so great compassion for all sentient beings. When there's such a great audience or great number of people, you become smaller. That's also one part. And also the last part is the when we think about all sentient beings, you feel in a big gathering of hundreds of millions of people, if you are in that kind of a gathering, you will not feel I am the biggest or you are the biggest. You feel really small. So I believe that this is why we always practice about emptiness or the compassion or the all sentient beings. For example, if there is no left, then there is no right. Just like that, when Buddha proved about emptiness or talked about emptiness, if the outside world or the everything outside that you see doesn't exist, that means if I tell you that you don't exist straight away, you say, what do you mean I don't exist? I'm here, right here. So it will be difficult for you to understand or to accept that. But if I prove that this building doesn't exist, or this person doesn't exist, or that shrine doesn't exist, and slowly, then you understand. Actually, he always talked about you. He's not talking about all these other things, but he's trying to prove that things other out. If the outside don't exist, that means inside doesn't exist also. Just like that, I think that's why he talked about emptiness. The interesting part for me is that he made you yourself realize that you don't exist. He didn't tell you don't exist. Because if that person doesn't exist, if this thing doesn't exist, oh wait a minute, that means I also don't exist. So he made you realize yourself. He didn't tell you that you don't exist, but he made you realize that you don't exist yourself. So that's, I think, very clever or very interesting way of showing that way. If you don't have that, it don't exist, that means your ego don't exist, your everything don't exist with you. So that attachment, all these things cleared away for you because he showed everything outside, all the phenomena, that's all mountain, all the materials, everything outside doesn't exist, so that you don't exist. If I don't exist, that means along with me, my ego, my anger, my desire, everything don't exist. And just like that, or he also talked about compassion. And I believe, if you try yourself, that when you feel compassionate towards something or somebody, feel ego or anger or desire, because when you are feeling compassionate, you cannot, these two things don't go together. So when you feel compassionate, you feel very compassionate towards the animals or him, whoever, you feel very humble, very small, that you feel very small. So this is, I think, another method of controlling your emotions. Just like that, when we say all sentient beings, then you visualize or you think for all sentient beings. So that's a huge number of people, not just human, but all sentient beings. We are talking about all sentient beings. That's a huge number. When you are in, for example, if you ever go to a football match or some kind of a music show or something, when they are a big gathering, you don't feel that. If you are in that gathering, then you will not feel, oh, I'm so big or I'm so important, because you are basically lost in this pool of people. My own experience, or if I can share, a few years ago, I was invited to go to Africa, to Kenya, where they have this, they call it the Great Migration, where all the animals go from one place to another place in search of water. And of course, in the safari, you don't see hundreds of people. You only see a few people in the car. But when you see so many animals, with tens of thousands of animals together in one place, and humans, normally we are millions of people and we only see few animals, so that you feel, oh, these poor animal, or you can see whatever you want to say. But at that point, that place, when you see so many animals and humans are only like 10 of you, you feel very small. You feel like you are not the greatest or biggest or something like that. Your ego basically becomes such a small thing, because when you have tens or thousands of animals, it was a very humbling feeling that you go through when you are in such kind of experience you get. All of this is for you to realize or become, basically control your emotions. If you control your emotions, we all want happiness, or we all want to be happy. When you control your emotions, you are already happy. Because generally we think we are unhappy, or we are going through a suffering because of our own mind, our own expectation. Whether you are talking about your own children, whether we are talking about our family, your father, mother, wife, husband, uncles, aunt, we all have expectation. We have already decided. Whether you, doesn't matter whether you are family, but father, mother, husband, children, they are separate, or they are all individual. They all have their own set of ego, or set of emotions, set of ignorance, set of anger. Everything is as a package. Everybody has one. So, but when I see the suffering is because everybody has already decided what they want to do. Because most of the suffering, if you think about suffering, where is this suffering coming from? Is because we have already, you have already decided what you want to do, and now to achieve or to whatever you have planned in your mind to get that, we are trying to work, we are trying to do things, we are trying to work towards that. And when that doesn't happen, or when there's some of your family or your friends or whatever disagree with that or something, then you feel suffering. Okay, it's not happening what I want, what I wish for is not happening. So that's the suffering. So that's where you, and if from the beginning, if you have not already decided, if you are not expectation, then there is no suffering, because there, everything is fine. Because whatever, whether you go there or don't go there, whether you eat this Chinese food or Italian food, doesn't matter, whatever you eat is fine. Then there's no suffering. Because even in a small family, if the some group of your family wants to eat some certain food, if somebody wants to eat some other food, and now you are trying to discuss this, you are trying to convince the other one that then this is better, that is better, the restaurant is better, the ambience is better, the light is better. All kinds of these small things comes in, and then where you feel disappointed and all. So most of this, it's, you can relate to. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I have found the solution, but I'm saying this is what I feel. This is what I experience. If you can test yourself, whenever you feel angry, whenever you feel disappointed, you have to think, why I am disappointed? Why I am going through this? Most of the time you will find that because you have already decided or expectation, if you could control that, if you could bring down your own, then there's no suffering. There's no, problem. If there's no problem, there's no suffering. Ever since from a child who can think, it's always been wanting something. We start with the candies, food, sweet things, toys, and of course they start. They never end. Still, you are old, or you are always wanting something. I'm not saying that you want the whole world or something, but you are always wanting something. That's why you are always chasing something which you don't have. Whether you could say about if you want elder people wants maybe a bigger car, bigger house, more money, whatever you need, but you always wanted something else, because we know that nobody in this world who doesn't want anything. The richest of the poorer people think rich people has everything, but rich people think more richer people, and when you go to the top, even more rich. So there's no end to that. We all know that. I don't have to tell you that. We all know that. But the how we think, the process, the important part is we have to understand how we think, how we are making ourselves into this kind of suffering position. So this is, I think, if we realize that, I think we can be slightly more relaxed, more happier. If we can be in the present, we are never in the present. We are always ahead. We are already thinking about tomorrow, breakfast, lunch, dinner, day after tomorrow, two months down the line, if student, you are already thinking about which university. If you are in the university, you are already thinking about what kind of a job. If you have a job, you are already thinking about what kind of a next assignment or something like that. So we are always chasing something which we don't have. There is no difference whether you are rich, poor, or whatever stage of your life. You are always doing. We are always running after something. We are never in the present. That's where death is very important for a Buddhist. So that's why death is very important for a Buddhist, because death gives you the chance to think about now, think about your past, think about your present. Because when there's death, there is no tomorrow. You don't think, oh, after death, I'm going to do this. Nobody thinks like that. They always say, okay, today if I die, then it's finished. You don't think, you don't plan for after death. So that's why death, it gives you the chance to think about now, where you are, what you have done, your past, your present. So when you can bring yourself to your present, then you are more, I would say, more calm, more relaxed. If you have, how do you say, whatever you have, or your regrets, whatever. I mean, the point is that you are, you come back to present. Similarly, suffering is also very important for a Buddhist, because out of the six realms that we see, human realm is. We consider as the best, as you know, because we have a chance to do something about our suffering. That's why we say the luxury of suffering. We have the luxury of suffering. For example, when you are suddenly sick and when you are going to hospital, then you think about your self. Then you think about, okay, I have to do something now. I have to eat better, or I have to do exercise, or I have to do something. So just like that, when you think about death, then you think about present. When you think about suffering, then you think about your present. So present is where you should be, but most of the time we are not in our present. We are always in the future. We are always thinking about future. Again, here also, to stop you from thinking about your going ahead of yourself or in the future, the emptiness and the compassion helps you to bring back your own self to the present. Because if there is nothing in the future, then you will not think, just like you will not get, if I die tomorrow, then day after tomorrow I will not plan. So just like that, if there's nothing beyond that point, they will not think, okay, I will fly to the, you will not say, I will fly to, if there's no road beyond this, you don't think, okay, I'm going to fly to the other side. So you say, okay, after this, there's no road, so okay, now where I am, what should I do? This kind of thoughts comes up in your mind. So this is also important. Once we think about our present, then this, for example, today's Mahakala initiation, or you do Tarav rituals, or you do Avalokiteshvara, or Manjushri, or any Vajagilaya, Heva, all of these things then come to play, and then you have, through their blessing, then you can, practice yourself. That is the goal. The goal is not to receiving the initiation, or to after receiving initiation, then you can do meditation, then you can do all of this. Even meditation itself is also to calm yourself down, to bring yourself mind to present. And that's also is the time where your gurus come in. Gurus come into play where they can guide us. But otherwise, we say we are doing practice, we say we are doing for the all sentient beings, we say we are meditating on emptiness, but we are thinking about tomorrow. We are thinking about our business, we are thinking about the family, or we are thinking about our children, we are thinking about the tomorrow restaurant, the clothing, the car, the house. So this is, what I feel, I'm just trying to tell you. Because all the questions that I see to the Guru is all about, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go do this business? Or should I do this class? Or should I? It's on, how do you say? Most of the question is about your future. Gurus are always 24/7, 365 days a year. They are always thinking about you, to teaching you how to be compassionate, teaching, showing you the path of emptiness, showing you to think about all sentient beings. And we say yes, we do. We are learning. But what about our mind is still going. We don't ask our gurus, how should I do meditation? But most of the question is all about your general our samsaric question. So this is where we are. I mean, it is also important what we are doing. This is to realize that. I think to realize, I'm not saying we are all like this. We are. I'm sure you have your own reasons. Practicing, I feel that if we don't realize where our practice is, sometimes even with the pure heart, even with the pure devotion, because we get lost in devotion. Devotion is also something that we have to check. Nothing is because devotion is controlled. Also, there's a possibility that the devotion is also polluted with anger or desire or ignorance is everywhere. You know? So our devotion is also it's something that we have to check. We cannot say just because we have devotion, we can do whatever we want. So this is also one subject that we have to think about. So that's why the greatest offering, the best gift you can give it to your guru is your practice. There is no other offering that you can do to your guru other than your practice. So that's why I say your daily practice is one of the most important thing. Your daily practice is important, and that's how you gain merit. That's how every day, because a daily practice means you do something that you do every day. Every day you think about, I'm not asking you to do hours and hours or sit in a cave, but even you do for a few minutes, that will help you, definitely help you. That will help also your guru, because our gurus are there only because we need them, not because they need us. We must establish this into our mind, that gurus are born, guru teach, gurus also enter into parinirvana. Only everything, whatever they do, is for us to show through example, through teaching, through a blessing, through everything to teach us. Basically, this is the teaching. That's the only thing I can request is to do your practice. Even you do one time, one mantra a day, but that should be with pure heart, with think about present, think about now, think about all sentient beings when you think about, as I said before, when you think about all sentient beings, you become small, humble, all the anger, desire, ignorance goes away. And that's even for a short minute of time, if you can do that every day, day by day, just like, for example, you don't become professional of anything without experience. And you cannot gain experience overnight, or you cannot gain experience in 1 hour or 2 hours. You don't become professional. Whether you are sports, you need to practice every day. Whether you are chef, you need to cook every day. Whether if you are in any kind of career, you need time. Just like that, if you do practice your compassion every day, little by little, when you really somebody's, even when nobody is screaming at you, when there is no physical pain you have, you can practice. When the physical pain comes, and it will come. There's no doubt about that. We shouldn't have doubt. And also, if somebody is screaming at you, yelling at you, saying bad things to you, and then your mind is so used to being compassion, then it will be easier for you to think about compassion at this kind of problem. As soon as somebody calls you a chicken or a dog, it will be easier for you to block that, don't let your anger come up, and you can suppress your anger and your emotions. Earlier I said that our practice is becoming something like a culture. What I meant was, we all know anger is not good. It's no-no. Desire is not good. No-no. But how many of us get angry every day? For small reasons. If you find yourself saying yes, that I get angry, so that means what we have been practicing for so many years. How did it help us to control our emotions? Because we do our sadhana first day, we think about all this visualization, or I have one hand, two hands, then 2 day, 3 day, 1 month, 1 year, then we are literally racing to finish the chanta. We are not thinking about the words, we are not thinking about anything else, visualization, nothing. We just read from one end to another, finished, and then I've done my sadhana. So that's where we are. I believe, this is my personal experience. I also find myself doing that from time to time. So it is also important that I'm telling you what I experience myself. I'm not telling you something that you are experiencing. I'm only sharing what I feel, what I go through from day to day, for what I have been going through or what I have experienced myself. I cannot tell you what I am feeling is you will feel the same. Of course, everybody has individuals. What I have understood from the teaching, what I have understood from my gurus, why they are teaching me, why they are doing this, why they are doing this, why there are so many questions. But the conclusion that I have come with is what I'm trying to share with you.